Welcome to the gospel meeting. Can we begin with singing number 31? Number 31. I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. I will tell the wondrous story, how my lost estate to save in his boundless love and mercy, he the ransom freely gave. Number 31. I will sing of my I'd like to read a prayer. I think we can call it a prayer because it's addressed to God. It's found in the 119th Psalm and the 18th verse. It says, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Open thou mine eyes is the plea, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. This evening, we've opened up And we will open up, with the Lord's help, this precious book. And I don't say that lightly. This wonderful book that God has given us, given by Him for us to read, His Word. Not my words. They wouldn't be worth very much. But we read in the first chapter of the book of Hebrews, the first two verses, it says, God has spoken. My friend, God has spoken in His Word. And there are wonderful things that God has written in His Word. Often when I put the children to bed at night, they like for me to sing to them. And one of our favorite songs is this. I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of His love in the book He has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. And I'd like to open God's Word this evening and read about some of these wonderful things. But let's first bow our heads and seek God's help. God our Father, how we thank Thee that this evening we have this wonderful privilege of speaking to Thee, of opening Thy Word and asking Thee, as we do so, to direct us, to guide us, as we seek, by Thy grace, to tell of the wonderful story of Thy love shown forth in the gift of Thy beloved Son. Oh, our God, what a privilege and what a responsibility this is. We pray for the speaker, for words from Thyself. Guide and direct in what is said here this evening. And we pray for those who are listening. We know that that is Thy desire, that Thy word should go forth and bring forth fruit. We pray for ready ears to take in Thy word. And we pray Thou by Thy Spirit will apply that which is of Thyself to some needy souls here this evening. Our God, we depend upon Thee. And we ask this in that ever precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. I'd like to speak of five things especially that the Lord has pressed upon my soul. Let's begin at the very beginning of the Bible. Genesis 1:1. Words that are familiar to all of us. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. This first thing we read as we open the pages of this wonderful book is that God is the Creator. God has made the heavens and the earth. And, you know, these things that we're going to talk about this evening, we wouldn't know them unless God had told them to us. God has revealed Himself in His precious Word. Because these things are hid from many people, because they have not read the Word of God and what God has told us. If you went to a school like the one we're in right now, they teach other things than what we read in God's Word. And I know, as I was growing up, looking over books that I had at school, There were all sorts of other things that people thought caused this world and the heavens, the sun, the moon, and the stars to be where they are. I remember seeing a picture in a book drawn by a man from India, depicting how for many years they taught there in that place that why the earth was carried on the back of a giant turtle as it went around, and that's how things existed. Foolish ideas. And you know, you say, why, that's ludicrous. Who would believe that? But even in the schools of men today, they will not give God credit for what He has done. But it tells us plainly, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God is a creator God. And this creation is the beginning of the revelation of God. It says in the Word of God, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he exists, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And as we go on here in this chapter, just a little bit of detail. God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And we're given this little detail. On the fourth day, God did this. Why has he set these things up in the sky, these inanimate objects, objects that don't have life? He set them there. They are testimony that he is a creator God and that he has made things. David would say, as he looked up, he said, I believe it was him that wrote that psalm, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the earth, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth forth his handiwork. And it says further, there is no speech, and there is no words, as we gaze at these things that are out there in space that God has made, yet their voice is heard. It's mute testimony that God has given that he is a creator God and he has made all things, the world and all things that are in it. And as we go through this chapter, we see item after item that is mentioned. I'll just go through them quickly. Verse 11, God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit. The third day, God made the trees that we enjoy as we go outside and we look around, and that green grass. And on the fifth day, verse 20, God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life. I take that to be the fish. There on the fifth day, made by God. And further on down, verse 24, we have the living creatures that are upon the earth. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind. God has made all these things. He's a creator God. But you know, as we read this account, there's something that comes at the very end. God, as it were, and he does this in many ways, he leaves the best for last. The very best God leaves for last. verse 26. Here is the crowning point of the creation of God. The best for last. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. The very high point of the creation of God is man. Have you ever thought of that? Have you ever considered it? We read in the book of Proverbs, when the creation of the world and all that God has made is brought before us, it's all outlined there, the things that God did. You know what it says at the end? "And my delights were with the sons of men." Do you understand? Do I understand that God takes special delight in you? In me? That God took special pleasure in making us, not just in Adam and Eve, but God has a special interest in you. He has a special interest in me. And God has made us, and God has placed us here. This wonderful thing that man has turned their back on, this wonderful truth that God has given us in His Word. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? That God has done this? He that cometh to God must believe that He is. I'd like to go on to the second wonderful things in the Bible I see. Let's turn to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. "When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son." God sent forth His Son. We read, first of all, about creation. This we call incarnation. A wonderful truth that we read in the Bible. And this is a wonderful story. God became a man. The thrill of this is wonderful. John writes about it. He says, "The Word, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." And it says furthermore, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt, lived among us." The Word became flesh and lived among us. The Son of God became a man. Why? Why would God become a man? There's a reason, very important reason. Into this creation that God had made came sin. And it came through that one that God had special delight in when He made him and his wife. Sin had come into the world. There was a reason why God became man. Sin had come into this world. It says here, when the fullness of time was come. From the time Adam was created and placed in the garden, there was a lot of time that went by. There were 40 centuries, 4,000 years. Why that much time? 40 is a time of testing. Man was fully tested in this world and was found to be a sinner. It says, the Lord looked down from heaven. Think of this. For 40 centuries, the Lord looked down from heaven to see if there were any, that do good. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. That is what the eye of God saw. And as a result of that, we would not have faulted of God if he had simply destroyed man and started all over again. In a certain sense, he did. But God looked down from heaven, God of love, for God so loved the world. There was a remedy. God sent forth his Son. This is a story of love. Sent to a world of sin. Sent to those who had turned their back on God. Sent to those who were corrupt, who were filthy, who were no good. Yes, God sent forth his Son. There was a plan. There was a plan. A plan of salvation. 1 Timothy 1:15. I believe most of the children in this room are so familiar with this verse. Why did he come? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Christ Jesus came into this world to save you and to save me. And the story of this birth is so wonderful. How did he come? God sent forth his Son made of a woman. He came into this world the same way that you and I came into this world. And I've told this before because it touches my heart. I have seen 5 of my children born into the world. And every time this thought has crossed my mind, my Savior, the Son of God, came into the world the very same way. Down from his glory, my God and Savior came. And Jesus was his name, born in a manger. A child. He took a body. He took a body just like you and me. One difference. He didn't have sin. Sin apart. He took a body as you and I have. And we're going to read why he took that body. And he clearly demonstrated who he was. Do you remember as we read through the first chapter of Genesis, how he created those inanimate objects? When the Lord Jesus was here, He rebuked the wind and the waves with three words: peace, be still, and they ceased. Clear demonstration who he was. We read about how he made the herb and the trees. And we read about the Lord Jesus Christ as clear demonstration of who he was. He cursed that fig tree. The next day it was dried up from the roots. And he created the fish. He told his disciples, cast the net on the other side of the ship. And those disciples who had toiled all night, they cast their net on the other side of the ship, and the net was full of fishes. Clear demonstration of who this one was, who was born of a woman. And he made the animals, we read there in the first chapter. The Lord Jesus took this foal of an ass, upon whom never yet man had sat. Did it buck him off? Did it resist in any way? No. It patiently followed the commandment of its creator, and faithfully carried him. But you know, when it comes to man, man's a rebel. Man is a rebel. He will not listen to God. He will not be subject to God. And the Lord Jesus, he came into the world to save sinners. How could he do that? Let's turn to another verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We've read of creation. We've read of the incarnation, God becoming a man. There's something else that we read that's wonderful. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 3. Just read a phrase near the end. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Christ died for our sins. Why did he take a body? Why did he become a man? So he could die. So he could die. He didn't die for his own sins. He didn't have sins. Even those who observed him before he was taken out and crucified, Pilate clearly said, I find no fault in this man. The very man who betrayed the Lord Jesus said, I am guilty of the blood of this innocent man. When the Lord Jesus was hanging on the cross, he was observed for hours by another man who was hanging on one side of him. You know what the testimony of that man was? He said, this man hath done nothing amiss. Born without sin, he went through this world without sin. Why did he die? Christ died for our sins. Did you ever realize that he died for you? Do you understand that the Lord Jesus came into this world to die for your sins? Have you ever thought about that? About your sins. Your sins. When I was a young boy, I sat in many gospel meetings like this, and my sins troubled me. I knew that I was a sinner. They didn't always trouble me. I'm sure many gospel meetings I sat in, I didn't realize that I was a sinner. Have you come to the place where you realize that you are a sinner? The Word of God says that plainly, that we are sinners. It says, "For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Who is excluded from all? No one. It includes you. For all have sinned. The Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins. What a story of love this is. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. It doesn't only mean that He sent Him into this world. Oh no. He sent Him into this world to die. God so loved the world that He gave. Where do I see the gift of God? I look back to Calvary's cross. And I see the Lord Jesus Christ with His hands nailed to Calvary's cross, the sacrifice for sin. The sacrifice for sin. And for 3 hours, He hung there. And then it became dark. And the wrath of God was poured out upon the Lord Jesus Christ, not for His own sins, He did none, but for my sins and for your sins if you put your trust in Him. But that wasn't all. Christ died for our sins. He suffered the final penalty for sin. He bowed His head and He died. And we read that when He was dead already, a soldier with a spear pierced His side, and forthwith flowed thereout blood and water. We can stand here this evening and tell you from the pages of this precious book, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sins. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Verse 4, He was buried and He rose again the third day. Why was He buried? Because He had died. He died. In kind hands, those who loved Him, I believe, took Him down from the cross. He was really dead. And I think of this every time that I stand before a casket and I see a body of someone who has died. I think, Christ died for my sins. Can you say that? Can you say He died for me? How can you not help but love Him for what He was done? But that's not the end of the story. He was buried and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. You know, when the Lord Jesus was there on Calvary's cross, my sins and the sins of all those who put their trust on Him were laid upon His precious head. And He suffered for them. what has happened to those sins? Do you think he ever could have come out of the grave if he still had those sins upon him? Oh, no. Never. It says he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, giving clear demonstration that the work that he did on Calvary's cross, he has put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And he rose again the third day, and my sins are gone. Gone. The Lord Jesus has taken them away forever. He takes away the sins of all that put their trust by faith in him. And he not only rose from the dead, but we read that 40 days later, not only did he rise from the dead, but as he was with his disciples, he lifted up his hands to bless them, and he was carried up into heaven. He rose from the dead, and he went back to heaven. And what of him now? Let's read 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, that's Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, or the gospel of the glory of Christ, should shine unto them. Where is the Lord Jesus today? You and I wouldn't know unless we read it in this precious book. Furthermore, it says that the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not. Satan does not want those who do not believe to know what has happened to this one who was sent into the world in incarnation and suffered on the cross of Calvary and rose from the dead. We've been talking today a lot about profession, those who profess to be Christian. And I've heard this said. They say, well, do you really believe in a physical resurrection? And I've heard people that say that they're Christians say, well, we don't believe in a physical resurrection. Think of it. What the Word of God has told us, this wonderful thing that we read in the Bible, there's many that call themselves Christians, they don't believe it. Furthermore, they don't know that the man that hung on Calvary's cross, the sin bearer, has been received to the right hand of God, and he's there in his glory. Satan is actively blinding the minds of them that believe not. Are you blind to this? Do you believe this? Have you seen this? The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. God has exalted his Son. God has found delight in his Son, in the work that he has done for him on Calvary's cross. And he's received him into the glory. And there He is at the right hand. And we can preach the gospel of the glory of Christ. The Lord Jesus is not as He was when He was here upon earth. It speaks of Him in the Word. It says, He hath no form nor comeliness when He was here on the earth. No form nor lordliness. And when we shall see Him, there is no beauty that we should desire Him. Is that the way He is today? Just a couple words I want to read to you from the revelation that describes the Lord Jesus Christ. And His countenance was as the sun shineth in His strength. There are artists who have tried to picture what the Lord Jesus looked like when He was here on this earth. I don't care much for such pictures, but they've tried to do that. There's not an artist in this world that can describe the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ at the right hand of God. John, who knew Him so very well, when he saw the Lord Jesus Christ in His glory, he fell at His feet as dead. This describes the glory that the Lord Jesus has been received into. And there He is at the right hand of God, waiting to receive all that would trust in Him. Verse 6, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It is God alone who gives this wonderful light, face of Jesus Christ. And He's waiting today to receive all that come to Him. How can you turn away from such a person as this, exalted and at the right hand of God? You know, the gospel goes forth with a warning. I want to read something else that's wonderful. It has two parts. The first part we read in John 14. John 14 and verse 3. The Lord Jesus is speaking. He says, I go and prepare a place for you. Then He says, I will come again and receive you unto Myself. That's written to believers. The Lord Jesus is coming back again. His coming is as sure as the day. It's going to happen. I've heard that for many years. I remember my dear mother talking to someone, I don't know if they were saved at the time, impressing upon them the need to be saved and saying this, it was New Year's Day. She said, this may be the year when the Lord comes for His own. You know what this person said? Oh, I've been hearing that for years and years. I've been hearing it for years too. But it's just not an idle tale. It's found in the pages of this precious book. Every word of God is pure. Yea, let God be true, and every man a liar. You can believe every word that you read in this wonderful book. He's coming again. And here, He's speaking to believers. Those who have put their trust in Him. Those who have had their sins forgiven.
Through His precious blood that He shed on the cross of Calvary, they belong to Him. He has purchased them with His own blood. They belong to Him, and He's coming to call them away out of this world. The living and those who have fallen asleep. It is His promise, and He will do this. What about those who do not believe? The first chapter of Revelation. He's coming for them too, but it's just a little bit different. Verse 7. Behold, He cometh with clouds. This is a different time. And every eye shall see Him. They also which pierce Him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. Even so. Amen. He's coming, and every eye shall see Him. But here it's not happiness. It's wailing. He says, behold, I come as a thief in the night. Unexpected and unwanted for those who do not love Him. For those who refuse to have Him as their Savior. He's coming again. And He's coming for judgment. Judgment. Those who want to go on in their sins, they still have their sins upon Him, upon them. My sins are gone. The Lord Jesus suffered for them. Thank God they're gone. The sins of many in this room, they're gone. And we praise God for it every day. What a wonderful assurance. We can lift our voices to God. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. To know Him. To know that we're going to be with Him. To know the forgiveness of sins. But if your sins are not gone, all kindreds of the earth shall wail. Reading through the Gospels, I remember one that is particularly solemn, where the king comes back and he says, bring my enemies, those who would not have me reign over them, he says, and slay them before me. That's the only thing that's left for those who reject God's offer of love and mercy. His enemies are slain before Him. And what about those that died? It says, I saw a great white throne, and Him who sat on it, from whom the heavens and earth fled away. Who is sitting on that throne? Have you ever thought of it? It's the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. God has given Him authority to execute judgment because He is the Son of Man. And execute judgment He will. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. It's a sad thing, and we cannot preach the gospel without giving out this warning that a God of love who has given His Son, who has first created you, and then when sin came into this world, sent His Son into the world as the sacrifice for sin. And the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave His precious life and died for you, went into death and has been raised up to the glory of God, and who is coming again to receive those who love him to be with himself forever, for those who reject the story of his love, there's one thing left: judgment. I remember a story that our brother Yamanaka told us. He suffered for the name of the Lord in Japan, and he was brought before the authorities there. They heard that he was a Christian, that he loved the Lord Jesus. And the judge said to him, he says, "I hear that your Bible tells you that someday you are going to reign." And our brother was faithful. He says, "Yes." He says, "I'm going to reign with the Lord Jesus Christ someday. The Bible tells us that." And the judge's eyes got big. He said, "Oh," he said, "if you who are so lowly are going to reign, what's for me?" My brother was faithful. He said, "Judgment for you. Judgment for you." And he was taken to jail. "Judgment for you if you turn away from the Lord Jesus Christ." Sing number 3. Eternally, his promise stands. My name is graven on his hands. Let all around my soul give way. He still abides. My lasting stay on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. My hope on nothing else is still.
Yeah.
Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word again and again. We thank Thee for the certainty of it. We thank Thee for the promises that Thou hast made. We thank Thee for the work of Thy beloved Son on Calvary's cross, which has made us fit to be in Thy presence. We thank Thee for the privilege of proclaiming Him as the Savior of sinners, and we pray for any who have heard this message that their hearts may be turned to the Lord Jesus from their sins, turn to Him and be forgiven and welcomed into Thy family this very day. Bless Thy word, Father, feebly spoken, but bless it. We pray in that precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.